Jesus is in this room, here right now, here right now, making this place I stand holy ground, holy ground.
Your Spirit
the doors sing wide, see glory. All right, want to welcome those who are on our social media platforms, whether you're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, follow, subscribe. Thank you for those listening on our phone live streaming. If you know somebody who needs that number, please see me, and we'll be glad to give that to you. If you're at home, go to our church website at highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab. You can download the worship bulletins. These are on the table as you came in at the foyer door there. We also have the children's worship bulletins back there. They're also under that info tab. And then tonight's prayer list is also under that info tab. Those are on the back there. I think we've gotten rid of all the ones that were at the front here. So if you didn't get one of those, make sure you grab one of those or while we're in between here. Do want to make mention of a few quick things. Don't forget your offering. You can do that online at highlandbaptistchurch.com. Go to the far right-hand side and click that Give Online tab. Real easy platform there. Offering envelopes are on the table back there, and we do have an offering plate back there also that you can use. And then also, just want to remind you about Awana Volunteers. We are still in need of Awana Volunteers. We do have it up on our Facebook page and our Facebook group page for Awana registration, pre-registration. So be sure and help us spread the word for that. Share it in your circles so it just helps to get the word out to more and more people. We do have cards that are laying around at different places, different entrances. So be sure and grab one of those. But we do need teachers to help still. Please see Miss Linda, see myself. We'll get you on one of those lists. There is the sign-up sheets that are on the table out there in the foyer also. So just be reminded of that. Don't forget, we have our Christmas backpacks. We did bring in the ones, we got the ones that we ordered in on Monday. We have some extra girls ones here that we were out of before. We have the boys over here, so feel free to grab either one of those. But when you do, make sure you grab one of these cards that tells some of the suggested items to get. On the tag that's on your bag, it tells the age and the gender, whether it's a boy or girl. On the other side, it tells some suggested sizes. Just pick one of the sizes that are there and stick with that all the way through the clothing. It's not for a specific kid. God knows who that kid will be that will get it. It's kind of like the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. We don't know who exactly will get those, but God will get them to the right people that need them. But be sure there's a sign-in sheet over here. Make sure you sign that so that you put your name, your phone number, and then put the information of whether it's a boy or girl and what age so that we'll know who to come get when we don't find those backpacks turned back in. Also want to remind you about the Bless app. We have a lot of people who are using that and sharing that. We also put the picture on the slides tonight to show you where we are. We have 1,028 adopted homes. This is just through our church. 4,525 that we've been praying for. We have 27 that we've listened to some of their conversations, talked with them. Maybe some we've sat down to eat with, some we've served, some we've shared the gospel with, or they've shared with us that they know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so just encourage you, if you've not signed up for that, you can go to our church website, highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's on the front page. There's a little scrolling thing that shows some of our primary announcements. And then right underneath it is this, and you can click the little box down there that says join. And when you click that join, it'll take you to our site where you can begin to enter your information. If you don't want to do all that, you can fill out one of the cards that we have. Just fill out that information. We'll be sure that you get those cards for that. And then also with the backpacks, don't forget, in the front pockets, we have the track, the Christmas story that the Tennessee Baptist Convention has given us to put in there. And then we've also got a children's Bible that's in the front. Those are in those front pockets on the backpacks here, so you don't have to worry about doing that part that's listed on the card. That's already in there. Just get some of the items that are on the card there on the information sheet and fill those bags and bring them back. Just remember, this may be for some of these kids who are in poverty, it may be one of the only Christmas gifts that they get this Christmas. And so be sure to be thinking about that as you get things to pack in that box. Of course, you can't put a bicycle in that bag, so you might want to avoid that. We can do those kinds of things with the Angel Tree ministry also, but not with this. So just wanted to remind you that. Brother Ben, if you'll come.
Stand and sing 406 to Solid Rock.
Built on nothing less than Jesus' blood.
did forget to mention earlier that if you have any prayer requests at home, be sure to go over to our church Facebook page and place that there on the Facebook page. That's where we'll be looking. Whoops, there goes my phone. Move some things around here. Hopefully you had a chance to get your prayer list downloaded there. Move that one out of the way. We've got a couple of updates that we do want to give you on some of these. There was something else I needed to tell you. Oh, if you're watching tonight and you're one of our choir members, we will be having choir practice after the service. Maybe you're waiting on me to let you know if we were doing that. So we will be having that tonight at 7 o'clock. So come join us if you can. All right, on our prayer list there, we'll start with our Highland Baptist Church family. We'll just go down the list on that part, and then we'll just maybe catch half of the friends and family in the nursing home assisted living list. We have Carolyn Stone, who has some medical issues at home. Remember Brother Arthur Hargrove? We understand he fell, but have not been able to find out any more information than that. Do you know more? Okay. Okay, so Brother Arthur just basically slid out of the bed there, so that was maybe not as bad as we had thought it might be. So he is sore, but we praise the Lord it wasn't worse than it is. So thank the Lord for that. Remember Betsy Farrell in your prayers, Mark Raymond, Sandra Wells. She had her surgery and everything went well from that, so we praise the Lord. Remember Amy Jackson, she's still recovering from her procedures and her medicines that she's been on. That's kind of been an up and down thing with her, gaining her strength back. So she's about half days that she's here, so keep her in your prayers and getting her strength back. Remember George Duncan in your prayers. Anybody have an update on George? All right, remember Ken Tatum with his cancer and his chemo treatments, Gordon Jackson, Tommy Griffin and Brenda both with decisions that they're making for him.
We did put him on hospice Monday, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Monday. What was that? They put him on hospice Monday.
Okay.
I saw Brenda to the stage.
Okay. All right. And we hadn't put that in. We knew that was some discussions they had been having, but we hadn't put that in the prayer list here specifically because we hadn't got that word from them that that was okay to put yet. But do keep both of them in your prayers. Remember Miss Gail McBride? Any update on her, Johnny?
Still recovering.
Remember Gayla Everett, Beth Kidd, Linda Jones. Linda was here for our primetimers. She seems to be doing a little better. Leanne Wells still has a little bit of ongoing pain, but she's doing much better also. Miss Catherine Smith, it says recovering at home. We did not get that one updated. She is in the hospital. They're hoping in the next day or so here to move her to NHC for rehab. She fell the other day, hit the back of her head and had to have a staple put in, and then also cracked her hip where she had the hips or hip replacement before. So she is in the hospital. It'll be 6 to 8 weeks, really, before she can put too much pressure on it with any kind of things with that. So it's going to be a long healing process and then rehab after that, too. And so want to keep Miss Catherine in your prayers. Remember J.W. Jackson, Miss Imogen, she called us today and said we can take her off the list. She got released from her rehab. And so we praise the Lord for that. So you can remove Miss Imogen from the prayer list there. Remember Diane Tatum, who's still recovering from her hip surgery, still has some ongoing pains there. And then remember Kay Fox, she has her surgery tomorrow. I believe she told me 8 o'clock is what I think I remember, something like that. Yeah, I think that's what she told me on Monday when I talked to her. So keep her in your prayers as she has her surgery to have a stent put in, at least one. They'll see more of what's in there when they get in there and may have to do more. Any others that we need to add to the Highland Baptist Church family side? All All right, I don't see any on the Facebook page there either. On our friends and family side, let's go down to about Mary Leibig, who's a little bit more than halfway up. That's Linda Smith's mother. Keep her in your prayers. That's still an ongoing thing there. They're switching out with the different kids that are watching and sitting with her. So keep her in your prayers. Remember Lonnie Lance, Hanka Graham, Marion Burks, Jace Norman. He just, I think it was today, they had to take him to do the allergy test that they were going to be doing before. And so he hates getting any kind of needles there. He's been poked and prodded so much with all of his stuff that he's had to have done. So just keep him in your prayers as they go through that process and figure out what the allergy things that he has that are going on also. Remember Catherine Sargent, John Sakich. Okay, so slow physical therapy, slow physical therapy. I remember Philip Tatum in your prayers. That's Ken Tatum's cousin. Remember Joanne Woodson.
I talked to her this week, and she is so much better. The medication is really working, and they have not mentioned she's on the screen.
Okay. All right, so that's a good report. Miss Joanne Woodson sounds better. The medication seems to be working well, so keep her in your prayers that it'll still continue to go well. Remember Greg Perry, Bethany Stringfield Brooks, Hartley Carlton. This is Max's grandfather, who is also with hospice, so keep him in your prayers. Remember Lee Min. This is one that Brian Tatum asked us to put on today, who had eye surgery earlier. Remember Parker Crouch. This is Linda Crouch's husband. They moved to Jackson. He is in the rehab, I guess it is there.
Skills. He had a follow-up from his surgery Monday, and he's progressing, not as fast as they'd like, but everything's progressing from surgery like they want. So he will be there a good 6 to 8 weeks in Skills.
Okay.
He's resigned himself. That's where he needs to be, and he's doing well.
Okay, so he's in that Skills rehab for 6 to 8 weeks, and will be there. So. Is Linda doing any better?
Linda is better. She still doesn't have all her strength back, but she's over the COVID enough now to let her go in and see
okay.
him. She couldn't see him for several days.
Right. So Linda had COVID, for those of you online to be able to hear that. She had COVID. She is doing better, but still isn't over everything, but she is able to go in to see Parker now. Remember Ellen and Jerry Robinson. Jerry has pneumonia. This is Linda Miller's son-in-law's dad, so keep him in your prayers. And then my step-grandmother, Beattie Mae Norman, she is at home, but she had a heart attack a couple of weeks ago, and they do have her on hospice, so keep her in your prayers. Got to talk to her yesterday, that she sounded in good spirits and everything, but she still has the physical limitations that are going on there. Any others for our friends and family side? All right, on our nursing home list then, we have Beverly Daniel at NHC, Hoyt Farrell at Legacy Nursing Home, Janet Carter at NHC, Mary Lee Stringfield at Lynchburg Nursing Home, and Ken Sargent at NHC Franklin. And so we praise the Lord for that. As Jean Seagraves was one of those we had on last time, but she was released from that. I think that's all that I have, unless somebody has anything else. I don't see any more on Facebook. So there was a good visit with Mary Lee Stringfield. Remember Mike and Reba, too, as they're away on vacation, too. Keep them in prayer that they'll come back refreshed and revived. All right, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer then for these, maybe other unspoken needs that you have on your hearts, and then we'll get into our scripture for tonight. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your grace and for your mercy, for your loving kindness. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for watching over us. For taking care of us, for providing for our every need. Lord, we know that as we come before your throne of grace, Lord, we see our impurities, we see our sinfulness, because you are a holy and a righteous God. And so, Father, I pray that you would reveal to us anything that we might need to confess, anything we might need to repent of, whether it's sins we've committed against you, or whether it's sins, Lord, of things that we maybe have not done that you've commanded us to do. So, Father, I pray that as we confess those things and repent of those things, Lord, may you wash us and cleanse us with the blood of Jesus Christ. Wash us white as snow. Forgive us of our sins. And, Father, I pray that you will fill us with the Holy Spirit that will indwell us, will empower us, will strengthen us to become more and more like Christ as you transform and change us from the inside out to be more like Jesus. And so, Father, we pray for your will to be done in our hearts and lives. Lord, we pray for each and every person who's on our prayer list that we've mentioned tonight, maybe others that we didn't. Father, maybe other unspoken needs that we have. We just want to uplift all of those things into your hands, Lord, and ask for your will to be done. You know each person's specific needs. And, Lord, you are a great and mighty God that is capable and able to take care of all of those things. So we just uplift them to you, Lord, and ask for your will to be done, for your name to be glorified and honored. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayers of those we've been able to remove from the prayer list because you have brought healing to their bodies. And Father, we pray for those who still are going through difficulties, Lord, that for those who are believers, may you give them the strength to keep pressing forward one day at a time, one moment at a time, that their lives would be a witness and testimony to caregivers around them, to family members around them, of your saving grace and mercy. For Lord, those who are not believers, we pray that you would use these times of crisis that they're going to bring them, Lord, to the place of faith in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. So, Father, we pray that whether it's something that is going better or something that is still remaining, Lord, to deal with for a longer term, we pray, Lord, that in all of those things, may you bring glory to your name through those things and bring good into our lives to those who are followers of Christ, to those who are the called according to your purpose. So bless us, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would bless us as a church. Keep us, Lord, focused on the task that you have before us of seeking to share the good news of the gospel with more people who are lost, that they might become believers. Father, we pray that you would encourage those who are believers to a more faithful walk with you in our church. And we just pray, God, that your blessings will be upon us. Be with our youth who are meeting, and we just pray that you'll continue to lead them and guide them and stir their hearts to a more faithful walk with you. And Father, we pray for your will to be done in their lives. Be with us, Lord, as we get ready to restart Awana with all of our teachers. Father, I pray that you will bless them. I pray they've had a time of refreshment and revival throughout this summer, a time of rest to be renewed and ready for a new year. Father, we pray for all of those open positions that we have, that you will lead others to get involved, even if it's just for a little bit. Lord, that you would use those means of service in children's lives, of sharing the good news of the gospel, building relationships with them, serving them as Christ would serve them. Father, I pray that you would use those things to touch those hearts, to bring kids to faith in Christ, and to encourage those also who are believers. Father, we pray for our kids, that you will guard their hearts and guard their minds as they've begun school again. Be with all of our teachers that are in our school system, Lord. And we just pray that you will give them wisdom and discernment as they teach and lead our children. Father, we pray that as we know there are many ungodly things around us in our not only in our school system, but in the public as well. And we just pray, God, that you would guard and protect the hearts and minds of those little ones. Father, we pray for you to be glorified in their lives. Lord, lead us tonight as we come to worship you, as we come back once again to the book of Jeremiah. May you speak to us powerfully through your word, that this Old Testament passage would not be something that we look at as irrelevant to where we are personally in our lives, but that we would see the application for where each one of us are tonight. Father, I pray that you would speak your truth into our hearts, to use it to do whatever needs to be done, whether we're lost or we're saved, and may you receive the glory and the honor. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen. Well, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Jeremiah chapter 33. Last week we did chapter 32, and chapter 32, 33, and 34 are all kind of in the same grouping, if you will. You're going to see that there are some similarities of things that are going on in these passages, especially as we read from the first verse of chapter 32, or the first three verses there, and now as we're going to see in the first verse of chapter 33, the situation, the circumstances that Jeremiah and the people are going through. So as you get to Jeremiah chapter 33 there, I've entitled my message tonight, when hope has a name. Imagine for just a moment that you are standing on the wall of Jerusalem in Jeremiah's day. You're looking out over the horizon and you see that it's not an army that's coming to defend you. You see the armies of the Babylonians that are surrounding the cities. You see their tents, you see their soldiers, you see the siege ramps. If you've ever been to Israel or you ever look at images there, you'll notice one of the places that it really stands out for that I've seen is at Masada. At Masada, there were some Jews who were hiding out there as a hideout in Masada. The Romans were coming through. This was in AD 70, 72, and this was one of the last holdouts of the Jews there in Israel. And the way it just sits basically up on a flat plateau hill. It's just flat up on the top. They had a walled city they built up there. There's no way to really bring an army up there. You could bring individuals up, but then you risk being at the disadvantage that the army that has the higher ground has the advantage. And so one of the things that they did, the Romans did, is they built these sand rock ramps, if you will, that they would continue just building it up until they had a wide area that they could roll their chariots up and even bring their battering rams up against the walls of Masada there. And that's what you see going on here in Jerusalem. You see the Babylonians here. They've surrounded the city, and you see that ramps are being prepared, and you know what's coming. And inside the city, food is becoming scarce because they've cut off all supplies from outside the city. Food is becoming scarce. Fear is beginning to spread. The people are wondering how much longer can they hold out. The political leaders, they don't have any solutions. The military, they don't have any answers. And the prophet Jeremiah, the man who's been warning them for years and years that this day was coming, he's not standing on the wall giving orders. In fact, when you read verse 1, you find out that he is confined in a prison because his message has offended the king. And so from a human perspective, there's very little reason for optimism when you see what's going on in the situation and the circumstances here. The nation is collapsing. Jerusalem is surrounded. The king is powerless. The people are frightened. And Jeremiah himself is in prison. Now imagine in that setting, here's what God says to Jeremiah in verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. So it says in verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the guard. If you go back to chapter 32, verse 1 to verse 3, you'll see that it tells us there, the first account, that he was shut up in the court of the guard, and he's still there. His circumstance has not changed. You know, sometimes we're looking for God to change our circumstances. Lord, change the trouble that I'm going through. Nothing changed for Jeremiah. In chapter 33, he is still in the court of the guard in captivity there in prison. And verse 2 says, thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Here's what he said to Jeremiah. Call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. What a remarkable statement. Because God doesn't tell Jeremiah, I want you to look at your circumstances, and I want you to figure out what do you need to do. He doesn't say, Jeremiah, if you could just understand everything that's happening, you'll have peace. You know what? If we understood everything that's happening and the problems in our lives, we still wouldn't be satisfied. We would still want to know more. We would not be at peace. And so he doesn't say that even to Jeremiah. What he says to him is simply, call to me. In other words, God is saying, Jeremiah, there are things that you cannot see. There are things that you don't understand, and there are things that are completely beyond your ability to comprehend. But I know what you don't know, and I see what you don't see. And that's the message of Jeremiah 33. That when we can't see any hope, know that God is still at work. When you can't see the future, God already knows the future. And when everything around us seems to be falling apart, His promises remain firmly in place. So notice some more about the circumstances here in verse 1 to verse 3. To understand this passage, you need to remember where Jeremiah is in the history of Judah. What's going on in Judah? Why are they in this situation that they're in? Well, Jeremiah had ministered in one of the darkest periods in the history of God's people. The nation of Judah had repeatedly turned away from God over and over and over. Idolatry had become common. The people had ignored God's warnings. They had rejected His words. They had persisted in rebellion. And God had patiently warned them through prophet after prophet after prophet, judgment is coming if you refuse to repent. And so they kept refusing to repent. Jeremiah had been one of the clearest voices delivering that warning. And now the judgment that Jeremiah had been preaching about all along was becoming a reality. The Babylonian Empire had risen to power. Nebuchadnezzar was bringing Judah under Babylonian control. And Jerusalem had already experienced invasion, and now the city is facing its final siege. King Zedekiah is the one who's on the throne in Judah. He's caught between the demands of Babylon and the pressures of his own people. The political situation, if you will, was an unstable situation. The military situation was desperate. They were no way did they compare to the size and the power of the Babylonian army. And spiritually, the nation was still deeply compromised. And so Jeremiah's message here was not a popular message. It was a message that he had told to the people. He had told them the truth. He had told them that Babylon would prevail and overtake them, that Jerusalem would fall. He had even told them that if you resist Babylon, you're ultimately resisting God's judgment, because God is using the Babylonians as an instrument in His hand to bring judgment against them. And that kind of preaching won't make you win friends and influence people. It's not going to make you popular. And Jeremiah was treated as though he was the one who was the problem. And yet it wasn't Jeremiah who was the problem. He was just the messenger telling them what God had already said. And so by the time we reach Jeremiah 33, here he is in verse 1, imprisoned in the court of the guard. He's confined. Jerusalem's under siege. The circumstances seem to confirm what Jeremiah has been saying all along, that the worst is about to happen. And then God speaks. Notice the timing. God doesn't wait until the battle is over to finally give Jeremiah some hope. God doesn't wait until Jerusalem is rebuilt. He doesn't wait until the circumstances improve. God gives Jeremiah His promise even while the city is still surrounded. That's important, because sometimes we think that God's promises become meaningful only after the crisis has passed. But God's promises are often the most precious while the crisis is still happening. Notice again what verse 3 says. Call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. So think about what Jeremiah did know at that time, at that moment. He knows Babylon is coming. He knows that Jerusalem is in trouble. He knows that judgment is taking place. He knows that the people have sinned. He knows that the circumstances around them look hopeless. But there was something that Jeremiah did not know. He didn't know everything that God was going to do after the judgment. He could see the destruction, but God could see the restoration. Jeremiah could see the siege of the army around them, but God was the one who could see the future. Jeremiah, he could see the destruction and the end of Jerusalem as he knew it, But God could see a day when Jerusalem was going to be joyful again, was actually going to sing again. And God was saying, Jeremiah, you're looking at what is happening right now. I want you to trust me with what you can't see yet. And that's one of the most important lessons in this chapter, because our inability to see the future doesn't mean that God is uncertain about the future. You know, we often become discouraged because we judge God's faithfulness by what's going on around us, by our circumstances. If things are going well, then we think God must be close to us. If we're going through difficulty, we're wondering, where are you, God? But Jeremiah 33 teaches us here something entirely different, that God can be working powerfully even when everything around us appears to be moving in a chaotic, wrong direction. And so that's the circumstances that we see Jeremiah in chapter 33 coming into. But I want you to see the promises that God makes to Jeremiah and to the people about the future of what he can see that they can't see. All they see is hopelessness, but God has a message for them in that first he gives them a promise, a peace and renewal. We see that in verse 2 down through verse 13. So let's read those verses, if you will. Thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city and the houses of the king of Judah that were torn down to make a defense against the siege mounds and against the sword. They are coming in to fight against the Chaldeans and to fill them with the dead bodies of men whom I shall strike down in my anger and my wrath. For I have hidden my face from this city because of all their evil. Behold, I will bring it to health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them abundance of prosperity and security. I will restore the fortunes of Judah and the fortunes of Israel and rebuild them as they were at first. I will cleanse them from all the guilt of their sin against me, and I will forgive all the guilt of their sin and rebellion against me. And this city, talking about Jerusalem, this city shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and a glory before all the nations of the earth, who shall hear of all the good that I do for them. They shall fear and tremble because of all the good and all the prosperity I provide for it. Thus says the Lord, in this place which you say, it is a waste without man and or beast, in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man or inhabitant or beast, there shall be heard again, in verse 11, the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voices of those who sing as they bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as at first, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in this place that you're saying that is waste without man or beast, and in all of its cities, there shall be again the inhabitants of shepherds resting their flocks. In the cities of the hill country, in the cities of Shephelah, in the cities of the Negev, in the land of Benjamin, the places about Jerusalem, in the cities of Judah, flocks shall again pass under the hands of the one who counts them, says the Lord. So after giving Jeremiah that invitation to call upon him, God begins here to reveal to Jeremiah what he could not see. And that's the promises of peace and renewal, of restoration. He's saying here that the cities that had been devastated are one day going to be rebuilt. The land that has been desolate is one day going to flourish again. The people who had experienced judgment are going to experience cleansing and forgiveness. And then the language changes. Suddenly you begin to hear the voice of mirth, the voice of joy. We hear the voice of the bridegroom. You hear the voice of the bride. You hear people praising God. Think about that picture that God is painting before Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is painting before the people through his words there. Jeremiah is sitting in a cell, imprisoned, where he can hear the sounds of the war. But God tells him that one day there's going to be sounds of weddings. There's going to be sounds of joy and peace. Jeremiah at the moment sees destruction, but God sees restoration. Jeremiah sees people who are mourning, but God sees rejoicing. Jeremiah sees an ending, but God sees a new beginning. And that is what God can do. He can take a place of devastation and bring restoration. He can take a people who have experienced the consequences of their sin and bring them back to himself, just like he did for you and for me. He can take what appears to be the end in your life and use it as the beginning of something new. And that's why we should never allow the circumstances we're going through to be the measure of God's character. Circumstances change all the time. Some circumstances are good, some circumstances are bad. But God never changes. People change, but God doesn't. Governments change, but God doesn't. Our strength changes, but God's strength doesn't change. Our understanding is limited, but God's wisdom is infinite. So when we can't understand what God is doing, we don't have to understand everything. We just simply have to trust the one who does. And that's the message Jeremiah is bringing to the people and God is bringing to him. The second thing he gives is a promise. It's not only a promise of restoration, of peace and renewal, but also a promise of a new priest and a perfect king. A new priest and a perfect king. Look at verse 14 down to verse 26. Because God doesn't stop with the promise of restoration, he goes even further. Notice he says, "Behold, the days are coming," in verse 14, declares the Lord, "that I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it shall be called: the Lord is our righteousness. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. And the Levitical priests shall never lack a man in my presence to offer burnt offerings, to burn grain offerings, and to make sacrifices forever. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that the day and night will not come at their appointed time, then also my covenant with David, my servant, may be broken, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne, and my covenant with the Levitical priests, my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, and the sands of the sea cannot be measured, so I will multiply the offspring of David, my servant, and the Levitical priests who minister to me. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Have you not observed that these people are saying, the Lord has rejected the two clans that he chose? What are the two clans? Israel, the northern kingdom, Judah, the southern kingdom. Thus they have despised my people so that they are no longer a nation in their sight. Thus says the Lord, if I have not established my covenant with day and night and the fixed order of heaven and earth, then I will reject the offspring of Jacob and David my servant, and will not choose one of his offspring to rule over the offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will restore their fortunes and will have mercy on them. So what does all that have to say for us? Well, he's reminding David here of his covenant promises. You know, we may not always keep our promises, but God always does. God says that the Davidic covenant, the Davidic line, is going to continue, and there's always going to be a descendant of David who fulfills God's promise concerning the throne. He also speaks of the continuing priestly ministry. But what does that matter for us? It matters because God's people were watching around them the kingdom collapsing. The throne of David is seeming to disappear. They remember, God, you promised, but why aren't you answering? God, you promised there would always be somebody on the throne of David, but our whole system has been destroyed. Lord, you must have lied to us, is what they're thinking. And so to them, the nation appears finished. But God says, my covenant is not finished. What Jeremiah could see, as we said, was a collapsing kingdom. What God could see was a coming king. What the people could see was a broken nation, but what God could see was the fulfillment of his redemptive plan. And ultimately, these promises are pointing ultimately to the one who would come as the righteous branch from David, the king whose kingdom would never end, the perfect mediator between God and man. Jeremiah could not see the whole picture. He didn't know about Jesus yet. But this is what he's talking about. That ultimately it would be fulfilled in this perfect mediator between God and man. There's another fascinating detail included in this passage. You remember just before this section, before chapter 33, you'll remember that Jeremiah had purchased a field. We talked about that last week. And if you stop and think about that transaction, even more so now in chapter 33, it almost seems absurd that God told him, purchase this piece of property when all the value of that property is fixing to diminish because the Babylonians are going to come and take it over anyway. And so what good is it to buy a piece of property in the midst of what's going on? But God was using that with Jeremiah to give a promise to the people, you're coming back. That's why I want you to make this purchase, Jeremiah. But to them, it seemed absurd. The nation's under siege. Babylon's taking control. The future looks uncertain. And so God told him, buy that piece of land. Jeremiah does exactly what God tells him to do. He pays 17 shekels of silver for the field. And now from the perspective of the people around Jeremiah, we said last week, that looked like a terrible investment. Why would you buy that when it's collapsing? Why would you spend your money when the enemy army is surrounding the city? Why would you make plans for tomorrow when tomorrow looks so uncertain? But Jeremiah bought that field because God told him to. And God was teaching Jeremiah something. There is coming a day when houses and fields and vineyards are going to once again be bought and sold in this land. He's expounding even more on that in chapter 33 when he tells him and gives him more confirmation that his promises are still standing. When you come back, it's going to be like a wedding. Everybody's going to be singing. Everybody's going to be happy. It's going to be a wonderful time. And so Jeremiah's 17 shekels, he's telling him, were not wasted. The circumstances didn't make the promise invalid. The siege, the enemy coming to take over them, did not cancel God's covenant. The destruction that they could see around them did not mean that God's plan had failed. When you look at the destruction around you and the circumstances sometimes you're going through in life, that does not nullify the promises of God. It simply meant that Jeremiah was being asked to trust God in the middle of a process he didn't understand. So that's where we come back to our title for this message, When Hope Has a Name. Because when you come to the end of this passage, there's something here we don't want to miss. Because Jeremiah 33 is filled with these wonderful promises that we've talked about, words that are being spoken in the shadow of broken promises. The people have broke their promises, God is still keeping his. And he says, even though all this is happening to you now, I'm still going to be faithful through all of this. They had pledged themselves to God, but their hearts had wandered from him. And again they had broken covenant with God. And yet in the middle of their unfaithfulness, God says, I am going to stay faithful. That's what makes the promises of Jeremiah 33 so powerful. Because our hope is not ultimately found in our ability to keep our promises to God. You know, we make promises to God. God, I'll go to church more faithfully. Lord, I'll read my Bible every day. If you'll just get me out of this situation, out of this circumstance I'm going through, I'll be the most faithful Christian you've ever seen. And what do? We break the promise every single time. Understand that our hope is not found in our ability to keep our promises to God. Our hope is found in God's faithfulness to keep his promises to us. Think about how different that is from the world in which we live. People make promises today, and sometimes those promises are broken. Circumstances change, governments change, relationships, marriages change. And you make a promise as a husband to your wife or a wife to your husband, and you see marriages that are torn apart because promises not kept. Our health, our strength, even our own ability to remain faithful can change. But God never changes. And so what he has said, he will do. What he has promised, he is able to fulfill. And what he begins, he is able to complete. Jeremiah is standing in the middle of devastation, but God is still God. God is still on his throne. Babylon had not taken God's throne. They might have taken Jerusalem, but that wasn't God's throne. The circumstances had not taken God's sovereignty. The destruction had not destroyed God's plan. God is still faithful. He's still sovereign. He's still working. He's still able to accomplish everything he promised. And that brings us back to those words in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. When he told him there to call me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. You don't even know. God didn't tell Jeremiah to figure everything out, as we said before. He didn't tell him to understand how the story would end. He simply told him, call upon me. What are we to do? When you're in the midst of your devastation, in the midst of your crisis, in the midst of your circumstances, he is saying the same thing to you. Call upon me. Jeremiah couldn't see the future, but God could. Jeremiah couldn't understand the plan, but God knew the plan. I'll tell you, I don't understand the plan always. Some things I can see and some things I can't see. Jeremiah couldn't see restoration, but God had already promised it. And maybe that's where some of us are today. You may be looking at your circumstances that make it difficult to have hope. You may see the broken pieces and you just can't imagine how those broken pieces could ever be put back together again. You may be praying about something or wondering how God could possibly work it out. You may be standing in your own kind of Jerusalem, surrounded by the circumstances that you have no control over. And you're asking the Lord, Lord, what are you doing? And the answer of Jeremiah 33 is not that you will always understand what God is doing. The answer is that you can trust the one who does. You can trust the God who does. You may not know what tomorrow holds, but you can know the one who holds tomorrow. And you may not see the way forward, but you can trust the one who's already gone before you. You may not know how restoration is going to come, but you can trust the one who specializes in bringing hope out of places that appear hopeless. And ultimately, that's why the title of this message, When Hope Has a Name. Because our hope is not just some idea. It's not some wishful thinking. Hope is not believing that everything is going to somehow work out according to our plans. Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. The promise of the coming king in Jeremiah points us forward to the one who will come from the line of David, the one who is the righteous branch, the king whose kingdom will never end. He's the one who came into this world. He's the one who bore our sins. He's the one who died in our place. He's the one who rose again in victory. He is our king. He is our mediator. He is our savior. He is our living hope. So when the circumstances are dark, look to Jesus. When the future's uncertain, look to Jesus. When the promises made by people have been broken, remember the promises of God. When you can't see what he's doing, trust him. When you don't understand his plan, do what he says in Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon him. The message here in Jeremiah 33 is not just that God can change our circumstances. He can do that. But many times he doesn't, because it's much deeper than that. The message is that we can trust God even when our circumstances don't change. The walls may still be shaking. The enemy may still be outside. The future may still be uncertain, but God is still faithful. And if God is faithful, then you have every reason to hope. Because the God who kept his promise to Jeremiah is still the God who keeps his promise today. Because the same God who spoke to Jeremiah is the same God who we serve today. He has not abandoned his people. In fact, he has promised us in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He doesn't lose control when our world falls apart. He remains faithful. He remains sovereign. Completely in control. So call upon him, trust him, wait upon him, and never forget, when hope seems impossible, hope still has a name, and his name's Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the hope that you give us today. Hope not in ourselves. Hope not in our circumstances. Hope that is not in other people. People will always let us down. Circumstances will always change. Father, we thank you for the hope that you have given us in Jesus. And so, Father, help us to walk with Jesus. Help us to talk with Jesus. Help us to look to Jesus. Help us to be transformed in our hearts, in our lives, to be more like Jesus. That is not a work that we can do. Lord, that's only a work that your Holy Spirit can do. So we come and lay ourselves before you tonight. And we ask, Lord, for you to transform our hearts, transform and change our lives. Help us, Lord, to come like Jeremiah and to call upon you, to trust you, to wait upon you, and to never forget that our hope is in you. Lord, bless us in the days ahead. Lord, there may be somebody who's watching tonight online or maybe even here in person who does not have that hope. They've never by faith trusted in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. I pray, God, that tonight they would do that. They would simply call out to you and say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I believe Jesus died on the cross, was buried in the tomb, arose on the third day. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Help me to live for you all the days of my life. And Father, I pray that if someone is prayed something like that in their hearts. We know the prayer itself is not the words that save us. It's the trust in our hearts, believing in our hearts, professing with our mouth, Jesus is Lord. Father, I pray that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're saved. And Lord, that you will transform and change them day by day, moment by moment, to walk and look more like Jesus. Lord, bless us as we leave tonight. Father, I pray that we will live more like Jesus tomorrow than we did today. And let you transform us and change us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for watching there online. Glad to have you. We'll be back Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:15 for worship. Hopefully soon we'll be back in the sanctuary. So keep that as a matter of prayer. But we look forward to seeing you.